Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll have to ask Frank in Malta or Rye in Malta with KMMR. You guys remember that big fire in Malta? Literally, the char went all the way up to the back porch of some of these houses in Malta. What was it, a couple weeks ago now? Or, hey, what about those of you further east, further north? Outlook, Montana. Do you guys remember back in 1999, the Halloween night fire in Outlook? Well, our friend Tim in Savage remembers that fire. Anyway, that's the source. It's kind of the source of a rant I went on earlier this morning. And I was going to try to recreate that rant for those of you, because I really want to hear reactions from folks in places like Outlook and Malta and Lewistown and all across the state about the importance of your local radio stations. I'll get to the, but I'll play the rant for you here in just a few minutes. Taking a step back here for just a moment, I was joking on Monday with our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, because you guys might know this. Caden not only does a great job producing the show for us here on Montana Talks, but he's also an umpire. And his father before him is also an umpire. And so he umpires a lot of games. But I was joking with him on Monday. I said, man, John Jackson, the Joker from X, is covering down on the show on Tuesday. I hope you got your pitching arm all ready to go, because in Caden's studio is this red button. And you never know what words. Do you not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You never know what words are going to come out of the mouth of John Jackson, the Joker from X. So, you know, and we can't really do the beep, beep, beep while we're live on the radio. So it's like, all right, Caden, I hope you got your pitching arm ready to rock and roll now, because, man, with John Jackson in, you might have to use that arm significantly on that red dump button. But anyway, today's the day. Actually, thankfully, all of the beeps are already included. You guys heard Hunter Biden freak out on that three-hour podcast. It's not just Hunter. The entire liberal left is melting down. Listen to Jon Stewart's meltdown after his buddy Stephen Colbert had his late-night show canceled by CBS because they're losing $40 million a year.
The shows that you now seek to cancel, censor, and control, a not insignificant portion of that $8 billion value came from those shows. Go yourself!
All right, and the beeps continue there. Jesse Waters had a great response. Let's see if we can sneak it in.
Democrats were throwing themselves a pity party for a fired millionaire who was losing CBS $40 million a year. When the Keystone Pipeline workers got laid off by AutoPen, or the soldiers were fired for not getting vaxxed, Democrats said, too bad. But a guy making $20 million a year is told his show's over, and they show up and mourn him like it's an open casket funeral.
Well said by Jesse Waters, and that is part of the source of my early morning rant. I'll share that, and more importantly, get to your phone calls right after this.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some great callers already on the phone line. So we got a caller in Anaconda, a caller in Northwest Montana, and phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. All right, I had our producer check in. Hey, do I need to sneak them on first so they don't get stuck waiting too long? Are they okay waiting for a second? He says they can wait. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you guys for waiting, because I definitely want to get to your phone calls here. And I think the caller from Northwest Montana, I think the topic he wants to talk about, migrants and sugar beets in the Bitterroot Valley. So that might tie in with a little bit of this early morning rant that I went on earlier this morning. I'm just going to play the audio for you. Here you go.
All right, you guys are going to think that we're doing an emergency broadcast test today here. Hey, yeah, maybe you would have thought you would have had one yesterday when John Jackson was in the house. Beep, 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 beep. that we're going to have at least 1 hour, maybe 4 hours, where you're going to hear nothing but beep, 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 beep. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. I thought only PBS did those. I thought only Montana Public Radio did emergency broadcasts. Yeah, you would think when you see all the fake news liberal propaganda on the TV stations and in the newspapers here in Montana, they love to prop up public radio. They don't like to give so much attention to, you know, non-taxpayer-funded radio, though. You notice that one, right? Oh, that's right. Oh, you mean PBS and public radio aren't the only radio stations and TV stations that do the beep? This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is just a test. This is just a... You mean there's like 15 radio stations in Billings, Montana? Half a dozen at least in Bozeman, half a dozen at least in Butte? You mean they all do emergency broadcasts? Messages? Yes, that's what they do. And they don't need 10 to 20% of their budget coming from your taxpayer dollars in order to do those emergency broadcast messages. But you read all this fake news media here, and it's like, my goodness, oh, if PBS doesn't get your taxpayer dollars, how will they put out an emergency broadcast? Well, first off, there's dozens and dozens of other broadcasters in the state of Montana that will put out emergency broadcasts and other useful information. In fact, man, case in point, remember there was a big fire. It broke out one night in Malta, Montana, right on the edge of town. And you know who was manning the board in Malta, Montana? It was KMMR, a privately owned radio station, not getting federal taxpayer subsidies. They were putting out and pumping out the information, not only on the radio, but on their Facebook page and other social media pages as well. And thankfully, all those homes were saved because of those incredible first responders and volunteer firefighters and others. And you could see the charred, you know, land all the way up to the back porch of some of these houses. Did PBS put out an emergency broadcast? Did public radio get out an emergency? Maybe they did. It was a local privately owned radio station that doesn't get federal taxpayer subsidies that put out this is not just a test. An actual emergency broadcast message, for Pete's sake. Anyway, and you see that, oh, the Helena IR. Well, Fort Belknap has a public radio station. I get hateful messages from some left-wing activist who works for that station, I think. How will emergency information get out to Fort Belknap if they don't have this public radio station getting taxpayer dollars? First off, that public radio station isn't going to go away. They still get plenty of money. Some lefty liberal donor will fund them. They're not going anywhere. But second off, there is at least half a dozen radio stations that cover that area. Some great privately owned radio stations out of Havre still locally owned. You got Malta that's still local. Give me a break. But anyway, back to the beep, beep, beep. Hunter Biden, John Stewart, and the rest of the left-wingers after this.
All right, anyway, so that was the open rant. I wasn't going to try to recreate that one for you here, but interested in your take on that rant. 406-294-0970. But the remarks from Hunter Biden that really set folks off was where he was talking about, look, we need all these illegal aliens to do our gardening and to do our dishes and to do this for us and to do that for us. And we're like, wait a minute. We here in Montana do all of that for ourselves, you entitled, spoiled brat. Will, in Northwest Montana, I'm assuming this kind of ties in with your topic. What's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Well, good morning, Mr. Flint. I swore I'd never call in again, but here I am.
You couldn't help it.
Yeah, being we're on a first-name basis. So what I'm calling about is we used to raise sugar beets in the Bitterroot Valley.
Awesome.
Yeah, and during the war, World War II, in the latter years, we had German prisoner of war soldiers that were in a camp between Steelsville and Corvallis on the East Side Highway. So we would check them out to come weed the sugar beets. So after the war, well, we needed help. And we met a family, Mexican family, that came up year after year in the 1950s to weed the sugar beets. And we had a little cottage on the place, and they'd stay there. And they helped us a bunch. I mean, our beets that we sold in Missoula were big because of the weeding.
Well, that's very cool to hear. I got to run to a break. We got more callers on the line. But, yeah, we've had lots of legal migrants do a lot of great work in agriculture over the years. That's why so many of us support legal immigration. All right, Will, thanks for the phone call. We've got Lauren in Anaconda with a very interesting story update as well.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Pistol braces are okay again. An agreement reached between the Firearms Policy Coalition and the U.S. Justice Department now means the federal government will no longer defend the Biden-era ATF rule that effectively banned pistol braces, the devices that allowed one to secure a pistol-gripped firearm to one's wrist as a stabilizer. In essence, the ATF rule classified many firearms with the brace as short-barreled rifles subject to control under the National Firearms Act. The federal courts never went along with that, but the Biden administration was still defending and appealing. Now the Trump administration will abandon that defense. The DOJ submitted its stipulation for dismissal to the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The ATF under President Trump now has yet to repeal that rule, however, but Second Amendment watchers are hoping this change is coming. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You kill the Joe, you make some mo. Man, I went to go get a cup of coffee during the last break. Somebody killed the Joe. They didn't make some mo, so I couldn't get some mo coffee. But so anyway, during that last break, I thought I could get it done. I ground the coffee beans. I got the thing filled with water. But I thought, oh, okay, I don't know if I'll get back in time for the show. So I just left the water there. I'll get to it the next break, and then I'll have a fresh cup by the 9:50 break here. Here's the deal, though. I don't need a cup of Joe because I got Power Plus Pain Aid right here. Not only is it an energy drink, but it's also got pain-relieving vitamins that come with it as well. And even better yet, it's made by a Montana Marine Corps veteran named Lee Ettinger. Big Fork, Montana. Yeah, great guy, great product. If you need a little energy and you want kind of drug-free pain relief, it's got all that in this tiny little bottle. And here's some other good news. You can get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. Drinkpowerplus.com. Use the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout. So, go there. Go there right now. Sign up. I know their product has been flying off of the shelves, but just go there and say, hey, put me on the list as soon as I can get it. I want to try this product out. Drinkpowerplus.com. All right, let's see. Let's go to Lauren in Anaconda. I had a really interesting phone call. I don't know if it was a week or two ago from Anaconda. And Lauren, recap us first. Basically, you called in and you said, hey, I live here in Anaconda, and they're basically trying to put a massive restriction in place against animals, but especially like backyard chickens, and not just in the city, but out in the county. Give us an update on that, and then I guess the big meeting is tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to call in about. But first off, I had to say I agree with your rant earlier about the emergency alert system. We don't need the feds to help us. We don't rely on them. But anyways, I just wanted to remind everybody that the meeting is tonight at the Metcalf Center at 6 p.m. And the Metcalf Center is at 115 Pennsylvania Avenue. And what this was about was this big, huge pet tax. They're saying up to $500 fines. You can only have so many chickens, you know, which I can understand in town. Right. I can understand such things in town because you live close together, whatever. But I live 15 minutes from town and I don't want to have, you know, somebody telling me I can only have so many chickens. Right. So and there's been quite a bit of drama online, thanks to social media, about this whole thing. So, you know, if anybody in the Anaconda area just wants a show, then maybe go and watch and just, you know, silently show some support because, yeah, the Bill Everett, he's the COO or whatever, CEO of Anaconda Deer Lodge. He said, oh, there's been misinformation and, you know, this is just, you know, we're not going to enforce it. You know, we just, we'll have it, but we're obviously not going to enforce it. Like, okay, well, then why do you need it?
Why have it, huh? Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what's the drama? Is there like a Facebook page? You know, like there's these great Facebook pages, like sometimes like I think Dawson County has their own kind of rant and rave Facebook page. Montanica is a great Facebook page for different Montana related news and information and interesting stuff. So is there like a local Anaconda Facebook page? What's the drama and where is the drama?
So it's just been on, you know, like the, I think it's called Anaconda 411. There's a couple of just like classified, Anaconda classifieds and stuff like that. And there's just been people posting, and then there was something about it in the Anaconda Leader, which is the newspaper. So it's kind of blown up. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people there. And, yeah, like I said, maybe just show up and watch, you know, the locals yell at all the city officials. That might be fun.
Well, so again, this would be countywide, right? Because there's a similar kind of city county type government like what Butte has, right? Butte Silver Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. And so I get if they're trying to say, okay, hey, we want to have some sort of restrictions in place. If somebody wants to come in and build some massive, massive chicken farm, you know, where maybe they're saying, hey, we want to just have some left-right limits on there. But it definitely seems like they're encroaching into your backyard, at least with the way you've described it here, unless there's something I'm missing.
Yeah, and, you know, and they're also saying they want to prohibit, like, ducks and geese and stuff, which, I mean, countywide, it's just a little ridiculous. So, yeah, it's got people upset.
Interesting. So that meeting is in Deer Lodge tonight. What time again?
Uh-oh, hello?
Yeah, what time was that meeting again tonight?
Uh-oh, Aaron, you're breaking off. I'll just let you go on to the next caller.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Yeah, you were still sounding good, but yeah, must not have been hearing me too well there. Okay, that's all right. Well, Lauren, thanks for the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation or if you guys have something you want to talk about as well. Yeah, definitely interested in hearing from you guys about my rant about, you know, your local radio stations. I know he had a meeting at the top of the hour, but I'm hoping that Tim and Savage will call in maybe later on in this 9 o'clock hour as well. Because so Tim and Savage, for those of you guys who don't know, Tim, his name is Tim Tharp, and he's okay with me using his full name on the radio here. He's been a longtime educator especially in rural schools here in Montana. He's lived in Scobie. He's lived in Sunburst, other parts of, you know, kind of the Golden Triangle area of Montana. Now he's out there in Savage, out there on the Mondakistan border, bordering North Dakota. Great guy. But, you know, because he's gotten to, you know, work in small town Montana, what do we know about small town Montana? Nobody has just one job. Kind of like the Hunter Biden rant. Nobody has a bunch of illegal aliens to do the job for them. Not only are they doing their dishes, checking on their cows, driving their kids to sporting events, maybe driving the bus to drive the kids to the sporting events after checking on the cows and doing the dishes and figuring out what's for dinner and maybe doing their own gardening. And then they're on the school board. Well, Tim wore a lot of hats while he was in Northeast Montana, including radio DJ. And so he sent me a message. He heard my morning rant there, my early morning rant about, hey, who put out the emergency information about the fire in Malta? It wasn't a federally subsidized radio station. He sent me this message. He says, in 1999, during the Halloween night fire in Outlook, I went in and manned the board at KCGM and shared information back and forth with KATQ late into the night. We certainly didn't need government-funded radio to tell people what was going on. And again, to my point, like public broadcasters, I'm sure, have transmitters in some of these areas. Were they transmitting the information that KATQ and KCGM, maybe they were, maybe they had more staff back then. But again, to my point, like, the fear campaign that the far left liberal media is doing, if the deep state propagandists at NPR and PBS don't get your taxpayer dollars, that somehow they're going to go out of business, it's just a complete load of BS. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Andy in Broadview. Andy, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Oh, I just heard you talking about, didn't catch it all exactly, but I was hearing about backyard chickens limiting, and I'm not even sure where it was.
Anaconda Deer Lodge.
Okay. Well, I was just going to mention that, chickens really aren't that big of a deal, but I had another issue. I live out in the country, and I had a big farm operation pull into the field right across the road from my house a couple of years ago at about midnight. They were running two of the biggest combines you can get right about midnight, about 100 feet from my front door. And so if they want to regulate some things for noises and stuff, that might be a better choice than just a couple of chickens.
It's kind of like the west end of Billings, Montana. On a sunny summer night, if you live anywhere near Shiloh Road, the motorcycles on Shiloh Road are, you would think you were at a drag racing strip with Robbie Knievel and the Bonneville Raceway in Salt Lake City, Utah. It is so loud. But it's like, man, if I wanted to have a backyard barbecue and somebody didn't like my loud country music, oh, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, they had a whole field there. A mile across, mile each direction. And, I could understand doing the outside edges, and then since it's the house, just work on the other side first. But no. They had to just stay right in front of the house at midnight. I had to be up at 4 o'clock the next morning.
You didn't have illegals to get up for you at 4 o'clock the next morning to do the work for you?
No, I didn't have that. I was facing an 18-hour day the next day.
Sounds like white privilege.
Yeah, it was.
Come on, man. Oh, man.
Anyway, I just had to get my little rant in there.
I appreciate it. All right, hey, thanks for calling in. Yeah, and I love the sound of dirt bikes, right? But part of me is also kind of like, you guys need to go see my buddy Barry Usher down at Beartooth Harley. He could find you a nicer, cooler bike that's probably a little quieter, too. just saying. Jeannie in Belgrade. Left a call-in message with our producer, Caden, here. The pet tax is on the county website. As invasive and left-wing as you will find, gives the government a right to your animals, a right to inspect the property, etc. So that's the message that came in from Jeannie in Belgrade. Jeannie, thanks for that message. Great to hear from you. All right, quick break. I'm going to go make some Joe because somebody didn't make some Mo. Which means you got time to grab a quick cup of coffee here as well. Or better yet, call into the show right now, 406-294-0970. And then one other thing I want to get to, the chairman of the Crow Tribe testified on Capitol Hill about the drug cartels operating on the Crow Reservation. That's some must-hear audio as well this morning.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Day one of three for the Northern Livestock Video Auction Summertime Classic is in the books. Auctioneer Ty Thompson.
We've said for a couple of years now that the cow-calf man is in the driver's seat, and it's higher again today. I mean, I know we've had a couple of huge video sales last week that probably sold 450,000 head of cattle, and this sale's probably, so far, on the lighter calves, is probably $10 to $14 higher than those sales were. We're probably $20 higher than our June sale was. Now, I'm just talking, what we've worked on today is calves weighing 4 to 530, 540. That's kind of all we've sold here today. Started out this morning on wean calves. Started out right away with some 430-pound steers at 520. Of course, those were weaned. We had some programmed 540-pound steers. I believe they brought 475 or 80 on those wean calves. But most all the wean calves weighing in the light, right around the type 5, early 5s would bring anywhere from 450 to 470 on those wean calves. Get into the ballin calves. We had some little low 410-pounders bring 530-something. We had some 400, quite a few of them 450 to 470 weight calves would bring up against $5 a pound on those calves. And that's what kind of took the jump.
The lighter weight heifers were also $30 higher from their June sale. Again, that sale runs Tuesday and Wednesday in Billings. I'm Lane Northland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Right now as well. Oh, actually, I see we got a few of those messages that came in. Normally, I would check the messages during the break there, but I had to go make some coffee. And actually, it worked out really well because I don't have to wait till the 9:50 break to get my cup of coffee, because the best coffee you can get is that first, like, quarter of an inch that comes out while the coffee's being brewed. That's like the nectar right there. You get the darkest stuff right there. Oh, man. Some of you are used to that Lutheran coffee, and you're like, you're drinking what? You know, you're used to that see-through coffee. Not here, buddy. Not today. All right, into the phone lines we go. We've got Claudia in Fort Benton. Claudia, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind this morning?
It's not Fort Benton, it's Rosebud.
Oh, hey, great. All right, I don't know where you got Fort Benton from there, but hey, either way, great to hear from you. What's going on?
I don't either. Well, I was listening on whatever day it was, you had J.R. Vazine on there.
Yeah. Freedom Friday.
Isn't he? He's just an inspiration to everyone. I've been following it ever since he got hurt, because I'm a relative of his.
Oh, wow.
So, but I just wanted to thank you for having him on, and hopefully you can get him in the studio like you were talking sometime.
Yeah, well, so I was actually talking with Becky Hillier after that. So Rodeo Billings, coming up in August, they're bringing outdoor rodeo back to Billings for the first time in a long time, and, you know, Dale Earnhardt's right-hand man, David Allen, is leading the effort. And so what I was talking with Becky about is I want to do a live show, maybe from the fairgrounds, from the rodeo grounds, or somewhere else at the Metro, do a live show and have J.R. Vazane be our sidekick for that show. And then he can help me interview guests and everything. Because, yeah, that was absolutely incredible when he was with us. If people missed Friday's show, he's got such a cool voice, too. Man, his voice, like, he could be an actor in movies. He's got this perfect Western voice. You can just tell he grew up in rodeo and got to meet a Texan or two along the way.
Yep. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. It's been on my mind ever since I heard that. But like I said, I followed his story ever since he got hurt. So
what?
Oh, my gosh.
What stood out to you, or what has stood out to you in all of your years knowing him? You know, he talked about kind of being like a lot of us, you know, especially us highline kids, you know. We work hard, we play hard, right?
Trying.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Through all this, and it's just an outstanding story.
Yeah. And his faith, you know, how he met Jesus in the Buck and Chutes. He talked about being kind of a wild child, and then the Buck and Chutes brought him to Jesus.
Yep, that's right. Anyway, okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Noel, thanks for calling in.
Great to hear.
Bye.
Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening in Rosebud. All right, 406-294-0970. Who do we got next up? Christy in Belgrade. Talking property taxes, yeah, it sounds like you guys had a great conversation with John Jackson yesterday, especially after these new assessments came out. Everybody's property values, especially in the bigger towns at least, is going up. Christy, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, if you have something outrageous assessment, you should go ahead and have them review it. But I do have to warn people. They were talking about not paying your taxes, you know, as a protest. You can't do that. And if you challenge them on that, that's fine and good. But right now, there's companies out there that are pushing tax lien purchases, and people are going to lose their houses. So you might not want to pay that tax and everything, but you got to protect yourself and you got to pay your tax. Because that was kind of like, we're going to have a movement here. And, you know, we know that a lot of people lost their farms and ranches in the 20s, 30s, and beyond because of property taxes. And it's going to happen again. So we've had, my house was appraised at $377,000 in 2020. Or 22, and now it's $698.
Whoa, almost double.
And this is Belgrade.
Yeah.
And before that, they had a big jump, you know, from, we were about, I think, 249, it went to 377, you know, in those 2 years. So we have seen that property tax jump incredible. And the only way your taxes can go down is if it happens in the county.
Were you in Belgrade when the 08, the 2008, you know, crash kind of happened and a lot of people ended up, yes, you know, losing their homes? And so you were around for that, yeah. So I forget what year it was. It was Bruce Tutvett was a Republican legislator out of the Flathead. And, you know, way back when, it was like, okay, these property appraisals would happen much less frequently than they happen now. And the idea was, okay, let's say you had a property appraisal done, and then all of a sudden the market went into the tank, like what happened in Belgrade, for example, and now you're still paying these, in, you know, high property taxes based off of, you know, what used to be a higher property appraisal. And so the idea was, well, let's do these appraisals more often so that people don't get, you know, either a massive increase 5 or 10 years down the road, whatever it was, or likewise, if your property value goes down, that you could also benefit from that earlier. I wonder if we need to rethink that legislation now to where we push the reappraisal out a little bit further, but we still have a cap involved. So the other thing that the Tutvett legislation did was it also put in a cap, say, okay, when you do get these appraisals, you have to limit how much you can increase their property taxes off based off of that increase. Right. And so,
You know what? So what you're talking about is handling the mills.
Yes.
And what you do with the mills, okay? So in our count in Belgrade, we have the school system dropped their mills like they're supposed to. Every other, you know, fire department, police department, every other service did not. So that, you know, it's...
So the taxes still went up, and they still got a lot more money, and yet the money never seems to be enough. Yeah. The other thing here, and Christy, thanks for the phone call. Great phone call. Appreciate it. The other thing that's interesting here, that's interesting is, one, I think we need to revisit that legislation and still have caps in place. So push the appraisals out further, but still have those lower caps in place. And that may be an end run around these constant, because let's be honest, are these property values going down anytime soon? Of course not, right? But the bigger picture is, aside from maybe revisiting that legislation, we fundamentally have to scrap this stupid property tax system that bases property taxes off of the value of your home. That's why people are getting hammered. That's why people have been getting hammered since the 1990s. Christy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go next to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Back in 1971, I did some traveling. This is back when, of course, price of gas was like anywhere from 35 cents to 19 cents a gallon. And it was a really sluggish economy. But I get around El Paso, Texas, you know, in the panhandle there, you know, where it's the city of Juarez, and El Paso is just divided by the Rio Grande there. And, you know, these Mexicans, they can pay a penny to walk across the bridge and bring a sack lunch with them, and then they could work for 10 cents an hour and do, and then work 8 hours a day or whatever, and go back and do this, go to their homes and do this for 6 months, and they can become U.S. citizens and have the right to vote. But, you know, there was no jobs for the blacks or the whites in El Paso because of this influx. And it was all because of the unions, the teachers' unions, the government unions at the time. They got rid of Governor Smith over that, but it caused a big problem. It was a dangerous area to be in.
Interesting. Yeah, there used to be a split in the Democrat Party where, you know, some of the unions did not want illegal aliens taking away union jobs. And then the government unions were okay with it, right, and pushing it. And the far-left liberals were pushing it. Just like there used to be a split where you had the unions who supported natural resources and then the environmentalist wing of the Democratic Party did not. It was kind of this, as a former Congressman Denny Rehberg referred to it, this unholy alliance between big labor and big enviro. But just like the environmentalists kicked labor to the curb and the Democrats started shutting down union jobs, the environmentalists control that party now. Similar regard, the illegal aliens run that party now. There are no more wings. The crazy wing took over. The crazy wing became the crazy entire thing. All right, Frank, thanks for the call. We got Tom and Billings next on the phone line. Stand by. President Trump wants the Washington Redskins name back. Will the logo honoring a legendary Blackfeet Nation leader once again be restored? Hey, if you guys missed it, over the weekend, President Trump had a post on Truth Social calling for the NFL to restore the Washington Redskins name. He throttled down with another post on Truth Social. Check it out. I've got all that and more on MontanaTalks.com. Better yet, get the Montana Talks app. You'll see it there.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this could be today's oh for Pete's sake moment. I'm feeling it. I'm getting warmed up. I think this is going to be it. Tom in Billings, are you talking about the school district 2 in Billings? Let's see, whining about not having enough security. Tom, that's the subject line that Caden sent over to me. Are you talking about this Billings school story or something else?
Something else. I was talking about these guys wanting warning about disasters.
Oh, okay.
My grandfather bought a piece of land up there on the Milk River bottom, west of Glasgow.
Beautiful country.
Huh?
Beautiful country, yeah.
Yes.
Vandalia, Tampico, that area?
Right. Just between Tampico and Glasgow.
Yeah.
He's got the first year on the property in a tent. And then, you know, over the years, he found out he had one house there. He woke up in the middle of the night and in the morning, and he heard water running, swung his feet out of bed, and he had water knee-deep in the house. So when he, that house burned down and he was going to put a new house, a different house in, he went ahead and had the basement put in 4 foot above ground. Then had the backfilled, so he had a 4 foot backfill mound where the house sat. So that the river could never, because
never get you again.
He found out that there was a drain, there was sloughs that come down from along the river. When the river got bank full, it used to push out on the flats.
See, your point being is that, hey, there were no emergency alerts back then. There was no government coming in to help you. He just had to get it done.
Then he also had a friend that lived up there west of, well, he was south of Tampico, that lived on a creek up there, Dry Run. It kind of fed a lot of the sloughs that come down past my grandfather's. And they had an early warning system. They would call back and forth of what the water was doing and know when to, you know, that to be covered. But
so that was kind of the early on social media was picking up that old phone and neighbor to neighbor to neighbor to neighbor. All right, we're just about out of time, so I apologize for cutting it a little bit short there. Yeah, and that was a great phone call. The story I thought he was going to talk about is there's a Billings Gazette story. Billings parents push back on proposal for armed school marshal. And actually what the story looks like is, this is why I say it's the O for Pete's sake moment. I looked up one of the parents that was complaining about this. She claims she initially was for it, but now she's against it. One click on her Facebook profile and you see rainbow flags and gun control activist banners. And then another guy quoted in the article is a far left-wing lawyer named Gene Gerusi. So basically the gun control activists showed up and they were the only ones who got print time in the Billings Gazette. Surprise, surprise, surprise. All right, Tim and Savage now with us. We only got a couple of minutes to go, but Tim, thanks for calling in. I was telling folks about, you know, how there you were, 1999, getting that important public information out on commercial radio.
Well, and just as a great follow-up to the last caller there, it's not PBS or any of these other government entities that take care of us. It's ourselves, and it's a small-town radio. I got my start in radio back in the early 90s at KCGM, and then of course, worked and knew the great Jim Nielsen of KATQ and all those folks. I mean, the whole High Line is just full of great radio stations, and yeah, many of them carry your show. And, yeah, that Halloween night in 1999 when, you know, we nearly lost the town of Outlook, and there were fires all over eastern Montana. I know that we had some down here in the Savage area that same night. I mean, it was a horrible night, dry and lots of lightning, but it was me going down to the radio station with the blessing of the station manager, just getting on the air and getting as much information out and talking to the folks at KETQ and sharing information back and forth, where it was, who needs to evacuate. That's who people tuned to. If they didn't turn to the government looking for, oh, what do we do now? They tuned into our local radio stations for the assistance.
And there's some great people on public radio. Some of my favorites are like Jackie Yamanaka over the years, and I love Sally in Missoula as well. But did you have public radio putting out that information on that Halloween fire in 1999 in Northeast Montana?
Absolutely not. They operate during regular certain hours. It's all pre-programmed. There's not the flexibility of just to be able to go into the studio and kick on the live mic and just start broadcasting live. You don't
and
have
getting the word out. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for the call, Tim. I wish we had more time, but I appreciate you calling in. It's such an important message to get out there. By the way, before we run out of time, Frank in Malta sent me a note. Rye and the crew at KMMR in Malta, if they want to get this important information out over the radio airwaves, they need power. Sometimes you lose power in an emergency. They are raising money at KMMR Malta right now to pay for a backup generator. So help out if you can. Donate to KMMR if you can. Get them that backup generator so they can keep backing you up during critical emergencies. All right. Thanks, Frank, for that note.